Thank you all for joining us this morning. Again, we are always excited when we come together, be it Zoom, Facebook, or in person. We might share the goodness of the Lord. I was, again, enjoying my one day off on Friday, which was the 3rd, because I don't get any Saturdays off. I have to continue to do my preparations for Sunday, but Friday was nice. Got a chance to kind of relax, and I was going to go out and try to, reorganize our garage. For some reason, our garage continues to be cluttered. I don't know how that happens. I clean it out constantly. Every time I go back into it, it's like I can't even get my car because there's just so much stuff from Amazon coming in. I don't know who orders this stuff. My name is never on it, but that's another story. And so I was doing all that, and in the process of just moving stuff around the garage, I was went through my toolbox. And what I found out in my toolbox also is that there are a lot of things in my toolbox that I know I didn't buy. I guess I just collect tools when people like borrow from people. It was good. And there are certain things in there that I don't know what they belong to. So Larry Harris, if you're listening, they probably belong to you. So why don't you stop by one day and kind of figure out what these tools are for. Because what I found out is that, guess what? Tools are good when you know what their purpose is.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of people got a lot of tools, but they don't know what they use them for. You know, they don't know what they're made for. You know, Shane's an electrician. And I'm his agent, so if anybody wants him to come to your house, contact me first. I make all the arrangements. You try to cut me out by going straight to him, you can't do that. And he comes over to the house every now and then. He does work for us. He brings his bag. He got stuff in there where he sticks up to the outlet to kind of tell him what's going on. He has all his tools, but he actually knows what they do. And that's why he can do his job. And what I'm trying to get at is that when you understand the purpose of something, you understand the meaning of it. And when you understand the meaning, it brings clarity to what we do here. And I want you to understand why we come together. I want you to understand why you're listening to us on Zoom and on Facebook. Is that we try to come together at least on Sunday to show love. Amen. If nothing else, I want you to understand that we want to understand that our purpose is actually to show love. That's why I read 1 John. It talks about how we are supposed to love one another. And I've learned more about this as I grow younger in my ministry here at the Open Baptist Church. I remember when I first came here, I had a misconception that the people of Oakland called me here to lead them. And that was not the purpose. God sent me here to love you. Amen. Not to lead you. Amen. Amen. And I'll explain that in a few minutes. God called me here to love you and not to lead you. See, I thought it was to lead you. And see, in that misconception, there are some things that you can do wrong because you start reading leadership books as opposed to reading the Bible that tells you about love. Amen. If you think you're here to lead, you begin to read leadership books and you learn how to lead. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is to love.
Thank you.
And through that love, guess what? People will follow. You don't have to lead. Just love people. And that's what we found out. We need each other to survive. And so the goal and the aim was not to lead, but just to love. And in this whole process, what I found out is that I used to think that my whole purpose was teaching. Brother Grassley, you like this. I actually thought my whole purpose of preaching and teaching was to make sure that you got truth. Isn't that right? And so that sounds right. But actually, it's more than that.
Thank you.
It's more than truth. It's love.
Thank you.
The whole purpose of preaching and teaching is also love. And I got that from 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, I'm just going to read verse 5. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5 says this, the aim of our charge, or the goal of our instruction, is love that comes from, that is issued from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. The aim, the goal, is always love. Amen?
Amen.
Because what? Because God is love. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and it's probably a lot of people's, and I didn't even know it was in the Bible. I used to watch the football games, and I would always see this on the stand. It would say, John 3:16. Never knew what that was. I thought somebody named John was there, and in the stand, you know, and maybe he scored 316 touchdowns. I don't know. But it was John 3:16, and it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that's what I like, whosoever, believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The goal is love. The goal of worship, the goal of Bible study, the goal of sermons, the goal of seminars, and all his goal is love. I mean, we used to come for knowledge, truth, then to propel ourselves to action. And those are good. But beloved, if we leave out love, we miss the aim. We miss the goal of why God wants us to come together. God wants us to come together for instructions to learn how to love him more. And in turn, we will love each other.
Amen.
Amen. That's it. And that's it. That's it. We love him. And when you begin to love him, guess what? You begin to love each other. And then others. Amen. It just continues to grow. It goes from God to us to others. But it's really all about love. Jesus sums it up best when he said it this way. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. He said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Mark 12. This is the essence of Christian living. So if that's true, then it should be the goal of all of our instruction that we might what? Learn how to love God more and then love others. So what was going on here in the book of Timothy where Paul had to write these instructions to him? Well, you have to realize that Timothy was now pastoring the church of Ephesus. Amen. And Paul had left him. Paul didn't stay in too many places too long. This happened after Paul had been released from Roman prison, and he was going around and he was checking on some of the churches they had built, and he was there, and he left Timothy there in Ephesus. And he left him there for a reason why he was going to Macedonia. You can read all that in the first part of the text. He was going to Macedonia, and he told Timothy, I'm leaving you here to kind of put things in order. Things had gotten kind of chaotic. And it was because people wanted knowledge as opposed to love. And so Paul specifically told him in 1 Timothy 3:15, he said that you might know how to conduct yourself inside the house of the Lord. And so what he did was in his book, 1 Timothy, he gave him some instructions. It was all about all these instructions. This is the book of instructions on how we're supposed to conduct ourselves in the house of the Lord. Chapter 2 talks about the different roles that men and women play. Chapter 3, the qualifications of elders and deacons. Chapter 5, how we're supposed to assist with the widows and orphans, all of that. And chapter 6 was how we're supposed to act towards money. Y'all all should read it. Amen. So help y'all out when y'all get on. Talks about our attitude that we're supposed to have about money. Amen. So you would think, though, that with all this instruction here, is that Paul would be trying to tell Timothy that since we had all these false teachers here trying to get them to do other things, is that he was put the emphasis on truth. But he doesn't. He says the aim is love. Why not truth? You know, I ask myself questions today. So as I'm studying, I'm saying, why doesn't he say, let's focus in on the truth? And Paul says that you are supposed to do the truth, but that's not the goal, ultimate goal. It's not the aim. In other words, if we're just preaching truth here and no love comes out of it, we miss the aim, we miss the mark, we miss the goal. And so we do preach truth here. Amen. We pray that nobody ever stands behind this desk right here and don't preach the truth. But that's not the ultimate goal. And I had to learn that. Because, see, I was a truth stacker. You know what that is? Well, I get that truth, man, and I pile more truth, man, and I pile more truth. And that's like I got all this truth built up in me, but I'm not doing anything with it. Amen. I'm just stacking up truth. And I come every Sunday and get another truth. When the elders preach, I'm sitting up there, I'm getting more truth. I'm just stacking all this truth up inside of me. And it's like, and one of my analogies, it's like having a car that you fill up with gas. Amen? And you fill it up with premium. Amen? You come to the open, you get premium. Now, you get premium. We get 93 octane here. Amen? And we're talking about the truth here. And so we fill it up. Amen? And then we go and we take our car and we drive it, we put it in the driveway. Amen. And it's full. And then next Sunday, we get back in the same car. You know what we do? We come back to the same filling station. And what we're trying to do, we're trying to put more premium. And it's already full. What happens? You can't get it. You can't get it in there. You can't get anything else in there. And so we're sitting around on full. Amen? With nothing to do. We're trying to get more stuff into, and we're not using what we already. Yeah. And so we have to be very careful. And sometimes we become so concerned with the truth and the correct orthodoxy that the bottom line is that we forget about love. And we have to understand that we get information without transformation. Amen. And we know the truth, amen, but we're not using it in love, and we're not doing what God wants us to do. The end product of Christian instructions has to be love. There's nothing wrong with the correct orthodoxy. Nothing. There's nothing wrong with having the truth. There's nothing wrong with that. We want to have that. We want to make sure that we're using it so that we can love God more, and that we can love mankind, and that we can do what God called us to do. Amen. You see, here's the essence of all of this, is that if we don't have love, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians, doesn't he? In 1 Corinthians, around about the 13th chapter, he says something about that. Let me get there very quickly. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, he says, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, we're just making a lot of noise and we're not saying anything. Amen? I think James Brown had a song on there. Say it, talking loud, and saying that. I got some preachers in the house today. And verse 2 says that, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as that I can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And if I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain absolutely nothing. Amen? Amen. So we have to understand the reason. I'm saying that's why we understand the purpose of our instruction is not just to get truth, not to just stack up truth, but it's actually that we might fall what? In love with Jesus. Oh, that'll be nice. Falling in love with Jesus, amen, is the best thing that what? I've ever done. I mean, if I could sing, y'all couldn't stop me right now. I just was out of a song. That's falling in love. And that's what all this instruction is about. And again, once we understand the purpose of the instruction, it has meaning to it, it has clarity, and we realize that I'm supposed to be loving somebody. I'm supposed to be doing something for somebody. I'm supposed to be doing it what sacrificially. Why? Because that's what God did for me, and that's why we have the instruction that we have. I like what Paul puts his best in Ephesians 4:15-16. Listen to this. He's going to talk about it so clear that it makes sense. He says, rather speaking the truth in what? In love. Amen. So he doesn't get rid of the truth. He said, we're going to speak the truth, but we're going to actually do it in love. Why? Because we are to grow. You know, everything that God created, he wants to grow. Amen. That's another sermon altogether. Amen. But he wants to grow. But he said that we ought to speak the truth in love. Said we ought to grow up, look, in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes up the body, it grows, right? So that it builds itself up in love. Isn't that amazing that he didn't say truth? We're not built up in truth. Amen. We're built up in love. He's saying that we got to get to a point where we understand that the whole goal of the instruction, back to 1 Timothy, that the whole aim, the whole God, the whole charge is love. And so when we get to a point where we're doing these things and we're building the body up, but it's not in love, but it's in truth, we're missing something. When love is not coming out of the essence of all of our teaching and all the things that we do here, and then all of a sudden truth becomes the mantra, we are missing the aim of what God wants us to have when we come together to hear his instruction. Now this love is not without confrontation and passion and compassion. Amen. There's confrontation there, but there's compassion there. But the whole thing is, we need to understand is that the whole goal is that we might be what? More in love with God when we leave here than we were when we came here. Amen? It's not that I just know something else about the scriptures, but I actually know the one who wrote the scripture. Amen? And I'm falling in love with God more and more. Every time I come in here, every time I listen to what you're saying, is that it ought to be based around, and the whole context is around the love of God. Because that's what people need to see. You know what the Bible says, that people will know that we are truly his disciples by how much truth we know? That's not what he says. Then what people know that we're really disciples, what? By how we love. How we love. And if we miss that, we miss the chance of making an impact in the lives of so many people who are looking for that love. So what does it take? I'm glad you asked. He gives it to us right here in the same verse. In verse 5, he says what? It takes it being issued from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. If I have a regular Sunday morning service, I will be able to break all those down for you. Since this is the abbreviated version, I'm going to give it to you, and you have to read the rest. So we have to be here. But listen, first, he says, out of a pure heart. Amen. Out of a pure heart. Pure heart means this. It is one not filled with sinful desires. Amen. In other words, there's nothing false there. It's pure. It means that there's no mixture there. This word pure is also a synonym for the word sincere. And I'll get to that when I get to sincere faith. But it means it's clean. It's a person pursuing holiness. Amen. The right motives. Psalms 24, 3 and 5. 3 and 4 says this. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? Only he who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. What he's saying there is someone who's focused in on God and can be trusted. Amen. It's a pure heart. You can trust that brother. You can trust that sister. They're going to give it to you straight, and they're going to let you know. Because why? Because they're serving God. 1 Peter 1:22 says this, since you have purified yourself and your souls and obeying the truth, there it is, through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. This pure heart is basically someone who is pursuing holiness and they're living for the Lord. Amen. Galatians 2:20 all over again. Amen. They're sincere. They're genuine. And it's all about everyone else and it's not about themselves. That's a pure heart. And we get that, guess what? When we accept Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Amen. He gives you a heart exchange, right? A heart of flesh, he changes what? That heart of stone. And all of a sudden, through the process of sanctification, it becomes pure. Amen. And we have the right motives. And even in our teaching, there's not manipulating, but it is the truth. Why? That you might not fall in love with one who's teaching, but one who is teaching about it. Amen. Yeah, it's about falling in love with God. And that person who's doing that has a pure heart. But also, they have a good conscience. Amen? A good conscience. The theology of Jimmy the Cricket. Let your conscience be your guide. Amen? But only if it's a good conscience. Amen? Because there are evil consciences out there, but it's a good conscience, one that has not been seared. It's morally good. It's one about right conduct. And there is no guilt. Why? Because the guilt has gone away, isn't it? Why? Because we've been washed in the blood of Christ. Amen. There is now what? No condemnation for those who are what? In Christ Jesus, your conscience is clear and it is good. Why? Because you're resting all of your laws on what Christ did and not what you do. Amen? And so your conscience is clear. It's a good conscience. And that's why now when you stand before people and you're teaching or you're outside and you're giving somebody instructions, you understand that what I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing this somebody else might see Christ. My goal in life now is that somebody else might fall in love with the same God that I fell in love with. Amen. And so my conscience is clear. There's no self-motivated thing here that I'm doing that somebody might want to try to follow me, but hopefully they'll follow God. And I'm always pointing them toward, my conscience is my compass to point you towards God. And in that process, you will enjoy the affirmation of the blessings of God. God will show you some confirmations in your life when you begin to do the things God has called you to do. In that sanctification process, you begin to live by the book. Amen. Living by the book, the word of God will not return void because you will be giving it out and God will be doing the work. And lastly, a sincere faith. A sincere faith, a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Those are the three ingredients. Sincere, I told you earlier. Sincere faith means that there is nothing mixed into it. Your faith is solid in Christ. You trust the Lord. That word sincere, the word picture for sincere, actually means without wax. Amen. And what I mean by that, the picture is of in those days they had potters who would make the pottery. You know how you get the picture of the clay, they're making the pottery, and they got it going on this grill. And every now and then, the vessel gets marred, and it becomes cracked when it's drying. And what they would do in those days, they still wanted to sell. They didn't want to get rid of anything because, again, it was, they wanted to sell whatever they made because they would lose money if they didn't sell it. And so what they would do is they would take wax, and they would take wax and put it inside the cracks, to fill it in the cracks. And then what they would do is then they would paint it so you couldn't see the wax. And so when you saw the vessel, it looked like it was what it was. And so if you were a good person who went around and you didn't shop on Amazon, but you shopped in the pottery places and you went around and you knew good pottery, what you would do is you would take that vessel before you purchased it. And what would you do? In those days, they didn't have lights, so they would what? They would hold it up to the sun. They would take that vessel and hold it up to the sun, and the sunlight would come through. And as you turn it around, if there was wax there, it wasn't what? The clay, the light would come what? Right through the wax. And you knew that it wasn't what? Right. But the person wasn't sincere in what he was trying to sell you. There was deceitfulness in there. You know what people do with us now? When we go around talking about our faith, they take our faith, and then what they do? They hold it up against the sun. Amen? The Son of God. And they look at his faith, and they look at our faith, and they see what? The cracks in our armor. And they see the things that come through. They know that we're not sincere in our faith, and that's why they don't trust us. And we have to get to a point where the Bible says, when something you're giving something, you have to be sincere in your faith. You need to be able to understand that, guess what? You trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Amen. And you're willing to do whatever God calls you to do, no matter what it costs you. Why? Because you have a sincere faith and you trust God. And you don't hide. And here's a good scripture for you to hold on to for that part. It's Hebrews 10:22-23. It says, let us draw near with a true heart. Amen. And full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That's what he's talking about. Those are the three ingredients that will give people to understand they ought to love God. What is the fact that we are giving them all of this with a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. In other words, we're living a life worthy of the calling that we have in Christ Jesus. And when people see that, they will fall in love with the same God that we love. Because they actually can see him in you. And they can actually see him. Beloved, it's about love. And when we love people enough to spend time with them, when we love them enough to be able to sacrifice what we got with them, when we actually go out here and show the world love, that's when they're going to know that we are truly his disciples. Because of the love that we've shown them through the truth that we've received from the instructions from the Word of God, from the God of the Word. Amen. I would love, really, to expound on that more. You guys know I would. But I've got enough to hold you for now. Did you understand that this whole thing that we do here is about love? It's about love. All that we do from a pure heart. Amen. We got to check our hearts out. Amen. Make sure we got the right motives. And make sure that we're understanding that we're doing this for the Lord. Everything that we're doing is for Christ. Amen. Somebody once told me, only what you do for Christ will last. And we got to do this from what? A good conscience. You ought not be troubled in your spirit because of the life that you're living. You ought to be changed and convicted by the Spirit of God. Not about what you've done in the past, but what you're doing right now. Before you come up here, before we do communion today, make sure you have a good conscience. Amen. Make sure you ask the Lord to forgive you for whatever you've done. It's not about your salvation. Amen. It's about your sanctification. As we begin to take communion. And last but not least, trust God. Stop acting like, trust the Lord. Have a sincere faith. Amen. Not with all these cracks in it that people can see when they hold you up against the Lord, that our standards don't fit. But we have a sincere faith. Trust God. Amen. Amen. One of the scriptures I always try to get my kids to understand, and it was what? Trust in the Lord with what?
With all your heart.
And lean what? Not into your own understanding. But in all of your ways. In other words, when I do something bad, I do something good, acknowledge God. Lord, I messed up. Amen. Forgive me, God. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And he will direct your path. And what I found that meant was that scripture actually means that God will make your path straight.
Amen.
But you got to trust him. You got to have a sincere faith. And that comes from loving God. And when you love God, you'll trust God. And if you trust him, he will show himself.
Thank you.
To be faithful. Father, we thank you. For your word is true. But God, never let us preach this truth without love. Help us to understand that the goal, that the aim is love. Love of a pure heart. A good conscience. And a sincere faith. Bless your people, God. I know you've already blessed them. Bless them again, God. Bless them real good today. Let them know, oh God, that you hear their cry and you understand where they are. Help us, Lord, to share this great gospel of Jesus Christ, that men, women, boys, and girls might be saved. But God, make our goal always to be loved. Love for you, love for us, and love for them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.